Good morning, you beautiful people. Talking, chatting, hugging. It's awesome here today. Summer is in the air. The sun is shining. We're so glad that you've joined us. As you take your seat and grab your Bible, we're going to get into a new series today. But first, I want to thank all of you, each and every one of you, for your generosity. Last week was our annual vision offering. And what I love about this annual time of giving is that it's not just those that are in the main auditorium. Our kids are participating. Our students are participating. The kids, the boys against the girls, they raised almost $200 with all their change downstairs. Yeah, that's a big deal for them. And then our students washing cars yesterday on a stellar day and selling some cookies and cupcakes over the last couple of weeks, they raised about $900. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. So they did a very, very good job. I'm going to save the totals for where we are to date. We're seeing very good numbers as people come in. Next weekend on Sunday at 1:15 after our third service is our AGM, our annual general meeting. And so I'm going to save the title or totals for then, let you know where we are to date, because there's still some people giving today. And there will also be people giving right through to the end of the year. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to be able to do some great and exciting things because of your generosity. We got an exciting summer coming up. And even this month, we've got, as you heard, Grad Sunday, also next Sunday. And then Father's Day, a very special Father's Day with Bishop Gordon MacDonald as our guest speaker. Yeah. Bishop is in the house, and so we're excited about that. This week, our pastoral team, our executive team, will be attending the ARC Canada Church Planting Conference over with Pastor John Burns and the Relate Church. And so churches from all across Canada will be coming together as we pray and plan and strategize about how to expand the church in the nation of Canada. And so we're excited to partner with them and to be a part of that. And it's very timely. It connects very well to our series today. We're going to jump right into the Word of God this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel. Let's look at chapter 16 together. Today we start a new series that's looking at God's plan for the church, the local church, not just our church, but the church. And it's actually his plan for you and I, because we are the church. And the church was never man's idea. It wasn't something that was, somebody came up with in a back room or an advertising agency that said, hey, let's do something called the church. No, it's God's idea. God's idea has always been the church. If you look back into the book of Acts, chapter 2, you see how the church lived and breathed and moved together. And so this community of faith has always been God's plan for our lives as we individually develop and grow and become who he's called us to be and really reflect his love to the world. We live in a day where we see natural disasters, tornadoes, we see terrorism. Just this past week, we see some terrible things in the States, in Virginia Beach, lives senselessly lost. And my prayer when I see those is not only for the comfort of the families of those that have lost loved ones, but for the church to rise up in those communities and be the hands and feet of Jesus that are needed to comfort communities during such difficult times. And so our series is called We Are Calvary, a statement that you've likely heard many times before if you've spent any time around our church. But today we're going to kind of pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes and look at the deeper significance of the purpose of God in the church and our lives as we work together. Now, as of late, as I've been studying Scripture, God has been drawing me to the leadership and the life of David. And if I mention David to many people, they'll initially think King David. And that is true. That's part of his life. But I actually want to go back a little further to the developing time in his life when he was a long way from king, but God was at work within him. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 14. It says this, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, 'Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. It was just this past week, I was having a terrible day at work and in the office, very deeply troubled. So I called up Shin and I asked Shin to bring his guitar and set it up in the corner of my office and just to play there, lead some worship for about an hour in the corner of my office. Right now there's people, Pastor Vince, looking at one another going, did he really do that? That's a little strange. As a matter of fact, I think this is a brilliant idea for those of you that are going through distressing and troubling times. In the fall, we're going to make Shin available as kind of a worship first responder. So if you're going through tough times, you're in traffic, you're troubled, 1-800-778-SHIN, S-H-I-N. He will show up on a bike right next to you, start playing his guitar as you drive along, and you'll feel better. You got a difficult time at work? You got an extra cubicle? Shin will park himself right in there, turn on the amplifier, and just lead you in a little bit of worship. Now, this is exactly what's happening here. Saul calls David, who is skillful in playing the harp. He brings him in, sets him up, and feels that weight lift on him. Now, I'm sure we would all benefit from someone like that, although maybe feeling a little awkward, it would eventually encourage us. And even though I did not do that myself, I think that we don't have that luxury, do we? That when we go through tough times, it's not like we can pull in the corporate worship experience to pull us through those moments. That's why we need to learn to lead ourselves. We need to learn in those moments to commune with God. But it does speak to the incredible significance of worship in our lives. That when that heaviness comes, when discouragement comes, that as we spend time with God, praying and time in worship, that suddenly some of that darkness gets dispelled. The Bible goes on to say in verse 18 that one of the servants, kind of like an Old Testament talent scout, he answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and he's one of eight sons of Jesse. Three of the oldest boys went to war with Saul, but his younger son, the Bible says, was skillful in playing. A mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. That's an odd thing, right? You imagine that in your LinkedIn description about all your experience and qualifications. And I'm handsome. So there it is in the scripture. He was a handsome person. But most importantly, the Lord, the Bible says, was with him. Therefore, for Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David. Bring David to me, who's right now not out doing a concert, not out in a battle. Where's he at? He's with the sheep. That's the glorious position that he currently occupies. Now, I think this is a kind of an odd description for a shepherd, don't you? Doesn't it seem like he is like grossly overqualified for the job of tending sheep? And yet, this is what the scripture says. But I think that this description of David speaks more to David's potential than to his reality. God looks at you and I today, and he looks beyond our reality. He looks beyond our struggles, and he sees within you the potential that you have that he has created you for. And you may not feel like a mighty man of valor. You may not feel skillful. You may not feel handsome today. I don't know. You may not feel like the Lord is with you, but the truth is that all of those things are true of you and I when we stand in his power and not our own. The title of my message and what I want to talk to you about this morning is Becoming Me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity we have to spend time in your word, to look at your heart for the church, your heart for each of our lives, and we pray that we would follow you closely and reflect who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In my teenage years, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I began to attend a church very much like Calvary with my parents out of sheer curiosity. The church that I had attended was so boring that it just, watching paint dry was more exciting. Like, it was ridiculously boring. And so I went with them to this church, and what I didn't realize is some of the people I was passing in the hallway would someday become some of my closest friends. It would become a church that I would become more involved with than I ever thought possible. But when I showed up on that day, I was just curious. I was just coming with my parents. The church at the time was preparing their theater production company. They had like an outreach performing arts team, and they were putting on the production called Where Angels Fear to Tread. This was a dramatic presentation, an outreach that they were planning at a local theater downtown based on the story of Nicky Cruz and gangs in New York and how he came to know the Lord. And so I happened to run into the director in the hallway just making small talk. She was welcoming me to the church. I must have had a look of confusion and not belonging anywhere, because she probably felt a little bit bad for me and said, "Why don't you come out to the rehearsal this week? We'd love to have some help with our production." And I didn't have any interest in that whatsoever, but I kind of felt bad for her. I felt like she was counting on me and she needed some help. So I said, "Sure, I'll come." I showed up that night to the rehearsal, and the rest of the story is history, because within about 2 months, I was on stage at a theater downtown under bright lights, getting stabbed as a gang member on the stage in this production, biting on a blood capsule in my mouth and letting blood roll down my cheek as I died every night for the 3 nights of the production to help this production. But you know what? I discovered my people. I discovered a group of people who were serving God, using their gifts, and doing something. You see, she saw in me something I didn't see in myself. She saw in me the potential of what I could become. I didn't see it at all. I went just to kind of help her. So today, I'd like to pose the question to all of you: who are you becoming? Who are you at this point in your life right now becoming? Because everybody in this room is becoming somebody, either on purpose or they're just coasting along, letting circumstance take them wherever they end up. But everybody is becoming somebody. I believe one of the most significant things that you can give to God to work with is a commitment to becoming who He's called you to be. The journey to becoming me is filled with the promise of people around us, of getting there quicker, of taking a shortcut, of doing it maybe independently, beyond the community that God has called us to walk this life out with. Many books are written, maybe many series and speakers have spoken to the power within to become the me that I always want to be, as opposed to the me that God has called me to be. But that is not the culture of heaven. The culture of heaven is not about what you have coming to you, but who you are becoming. Heaven is not about what you have, but who you have become. And the point of the here and now is that we use this time, the time that we've been given, to become the me that God has called us to. That's how God is reaching the world. He's working through the church, through those who are becoming what He has planned and purposed for them, to be His image in the earth, to be the truly the hope of the world. So again, who are you becoming? I suppose in a real practical sense, what I'm getting at today is that God cares immeasurably more about your character than He does your gifts. Who you are instead of what you can offer. Your gifts are yours. That's because of the grace of God. But gifts are only worthwhile in the hands of somebody who recognizes the fact that Jesus sacrificed His life. He gave it all. He shed His blood for who you will become. Jesus died to redeem your character right to its very core. So one of the greatest responses we could have to salvation is becoming committed to becoming me, the me that God has called me to be, the me that He died for me to be. Not to get caught up in the trap of comparing ourselves with the progress of other people. I think sometimes we lose ourselves on this trail. God has not called me to become you or you to become me. And yet every day people get lost in this trap of comparison. Sometimes we're comparing our behind-the-scenes, under-construction version of our life to the polished, curated, filtered version of what people post on Instagram. Look at us, man, on the beach with the perfect color in the background, living the dream. This guy and his wife, they're so in love. How can they be in love like that all the time? They're perfect. How is that possible? Like, I can't even make it to Wednesday without getting in a fight with somebody at my house, right? And yet you look on social media and you see this picture of families laughing together, Disneyland, and down on the beach in Vancouver, walking through, eating gelato. Whoa, it's awesome, right? They look so happy. And so we get caught in this trap sometimes of going, how can I be that? And sometimes we try. We sometimes try to become that. Try to take our own pictures. It's gelato. Look at me in the beach, right? And then we look at it, we go, it looks good, but it's still not. I don't think it's what they have. And so we get pulled into this comparison trap. And you know what the truth is those pictures that you're seeing, the Instagram feed, the social media kind of presence that they have, it's not even real for them. Some of the photos end up getting so doctored, the moments so perfectly snagged. And some of them, don't get me wrong, can be sincere. But for the most part, it is a polished up version of a moment in someone's life that can't be compared to the daily grind, to the reality of you just got a call from the doctor and they've told you something that you didn't want to hear. Or you heard from your employer that a job you've held for 25 years is coming to a close and you no longer have a job starting in 2 months. That's real. Nobody's putting pictures on Instagram of those moments, right? That's tough. But it's in those moments that God wants to be a comfort and a strength to you. It's in those moments that God surrounds you with community to help you navigate those times. You see, God cares so much about your character that in Christ you are sanctified. In Christ you are justified. In Christ, God sees you as sinless and spotless because he's paid an incredible price for your forgiveness. But in order for that to have any effect on the world in the here and now, it requires a commitment to becoming the me that he has purposed. In 1 Samuel 16, we come across a man named Saul, a man who has become a casualty of his own pride. So one day his servants rally around him and they come up with a solution to get him to break this funk that he's in, this dark mood that he can't seem to break. And so their idea is to bring this gifted musician, this one who has the favor of God, to play him into a place of deliverance. Again, speaking to the power and significance of worship in our life. And at that point, I think Saul would have tried anything because he was becoming desperate. And so the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, was the Bible said, was skillful in playing. He was a mighty man of valor, a man of war, well-spoken, great-looking, and most importantly, God was with him. And so they bring David to Saul. He plays for him, and he actually lives up to the hype. His mad musical skills deliver Saul from the darkness that he was feeling. Now, what's really interesting in the way he is described here, this nameless young man to this point, is that everything that is said about him in no way describes a shepherd. These are not the qualifications of someone who hangs out with sheep all day. As a matter of fact, his bio sounds more like a general, sounds like a king instead of a keeper of sheep. As a matter of fact, sheep don't care if you're handsome. They don't care if you can play the harp. They're just sheep. Right? They just want somebody to make sure that they don't fall into the river and that they're parked next to some grass so that they can have dinner. They have very few needs, and most of them have nothing to do with this description. But listen, God was shaping David into who he would need to become while he was in a place that didn't reflect where he was going. Some of you may be in jobs today that seem like a dead-end job. But God is developing your character. There has been many a story of someone who has started in the mailroom and ended up as the CEO of that company. God sees where you're going. He sees the beginning from the end. And sometimes it's difficult for us to see. But in our efforts to become the me God has called us to be, we need to understand that his vision for our lives exceeds the vision that we have for ourselves. I really doubt that while David spent a lot of time under those trees with those sheep, I'm sure it didn't smell great. I'm sure the pay wasn't fantastic. But I doubt that he had great visions of doing wonderful things. I don't think that probably being king was maybe on his radar at that point. But we do know that David spent considerable time in worship and prayer, in the two areas that develop our relationship and our closeness with God. And it's during those times that the Spirit of God begins to show us who he wants us to become. God begins to show us who we are through his eyes. Because sometimes when we look in the mirror, we're discouraged. We're discouraged with our progress. We're discouraged with how we look. We're discouraged with where we are in life. Maybe we hoped we'd be so much further ahead. But God sees beyond your reality to your potential. You see, God made David a king long before he was ever a king, because God's vision for his life was so much more than he could see himself. We see on the outside, God sees deeper. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord,'" what does the Bible say? "The Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. You see, God was showing Samuel the selection process for who would be anointed king, and that it had less to do with what man saw on the outside and more to do with what God sees in the heart. And God loved the heart of David. God loved his heart because he had spent time with him and they had come close together. Now, the point is not that our heart needs to be better than the person sitting next to us this morning. The point is not that David's heart was better than his other seven brothers, although it may have been. The point really is that you have the kind of heart that receives what God has for you. And often that is developed within community. Character, godly character, is developed in community. Listen, successfully becoming me relies heavily on becoming we. They're directly connected. The church matters when it comes to who we are becoming. God uses community to help shape us. We see this in the early church in Acts chapter 2. We see it in the life of David, that he was a product of the people that were around him, those that encouraged him and also those that opposed him and criticized him. I look back at my life and I see people that were in my corner all the time, even when I hit the ground, telling me to get back up, that I could do it. But I also remember a few nasty people that were criticizing me, who were jealous of maybe what God had called me to do or my progress. And you know what? Those people I allowed after a while not to become something that would erode at who I was called to be, but to fuel the faith of my knowing that if God was going to do something significant in my life, that he was the only one that was going to get the glory for it. My job was to commit myself to following him through it all. And I think we all need better theology of the church when it comes to its role in the development of who we're becoming. Let me give you a few reasons why it matters. Number one, church is not about satisfaction, but about sanctification. Again, the functional inner theology of most people these days is satisfaction. How did the music today make me feel? What about the message? Was it authentic? Did it meet my needs? But how did we get to the place where the preaching of God's word has become more about our emotional satisfaction than our habits and behaviors changing to more reflect who Jesus is? You see, listening to messages, whether you're on a podcast or worship songs on YouTube, doesn't sanctify you. Sanctification is an inward attitudinal change that is translated into the physical, into that body change that comes. So do I feel peace needs to become, am I living peaceably with the people that are around me? You see, church is a gathering of Christ followers like you and me, and it's the physical location, what we do here, for all those opportunities that God uses to help bring about his character in our lives. It allows us the space to practice the 100+ one another commands that Jesus gave us. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, James 5:16. You see, this working out of salvation in the beautiful mess of community is the place God has designed for our sanctification and for our growth. Number two, second reason that church matters. Church is not about me, it's about we. So important. The body doesn't consist of one member, but many. We read that in Scripture. When you're baptized, you're not just baptized into Christ. You're baptized into the community of saints, to a group of people. And the local church is the extension of Christ's body in the earth today. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So listen, to not be involved in a local church, I believe, is to diminish being unified with Christ and his body. Somebody said to me once, oh, Pastor Steve, I don't need the church. I love God and I'm good on my own. And then about 6 months later, he was dealing with something when it came to his health. And he called me up and wondered if I would come and see him in the hospital. And I'm like, what happened to the church of one? You see, it's not until we really face struggles in our lives that we realize how much we need community. One of the most wonderful things that takes place in our church is not all that you see on Sunday, and that is a great thing, but it's what happens every day throughout the week. Small groups, meeting together, loving one another, ministering to one another, making meals for one another, visiting one another in the hospital. The community of faith is alive and well here amongst us, and it needs to be moving forward. Number three, church is not about emotion, but about mission. You see, as we continue to share our faith with those that don't yet know Christ, into what community are we going to invite these new believing friends unless we ourselves are rooted in one? The deeper your roots, the healthier you will grow. And so I encourage you, find yourself a church where you can grow and connect. If it's here, we welcome you home. If it's somewhere else, closer to your home, or maybe you're visiting from another place, or maybe you're watching online, find yourself a Jesus-centered church and root yourself in. And that might mean you have to drive a half an hour or more every Sunday to get there. But you know what? It's well worth it when you know that God has you there with purpose. Because I think in order for us to take things like the Great Commission seriously, to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, if we're not involved in a local church, how can we even do that? How can we truly love God and not love what he loves? And let me tell you this, he still loves the church. He sent his son to die for the church. And the greater news is he's coming back someday for the church. And then number four, the last one, something that is reflected in the experience we had this morning during communion. Church is not about consumption, but about communion. And so what is communion? We'll simply think about common union. When God the Father brings us into life with him through the sacrificial death of Jesus, we are united by his power and the Holy Spirit. This is our union together. And then when he saves us, he also saves us into life, the life with not only himself, but with his chosen people. So communion is our redemption out of sin by God and into common union with him and with one another. Salvation is both union with God and union with the people that he's planted us next to. That's the power of salvation. You see, ultimately, when we get to the other side and we take our first step into eternity, it will not be about what we've collected or what we've accomplished, but who you've become. And who you have become is directly connected to the community that has helped to shape and mold your character. Becoming me cannot happen in a vacuum. We can get a taste of heaven in the here and now, because, you know, heaven is all about community. Somebody said, well, I'm just not into community. I'm more of a loner. Well, you're not going to like heaven, because that's what it's all about. It's a big spot full of a whole lot of people. And so why wait until you draw your last breath to experience it? You can get a taste of what that kind of quality community is like. Not perfect, because people are not perfect. Nothing's perfect this side of heaven. But you can get a part of genuine, sincere connection where people can help people grow stronger in Him. And like David, you and I can be men and women, young and old, that are after God's own heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be seen by God as that? To strip away all your accomplishments and say, he was a man after my heart. She was after my heart. That's the only description I really live for. To know that God knows that I'll do whatever it takes because my heart is set on him. Successfully becoming me relies on becoming we. Would you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Today, across this auditorium, are people that want to take that next step to become the me that maybe God has called them to. Some of you are watching online on our live stream today. Maybe you're sitting at home. Maybe you're in a hotel on vacation. God is speaking to you today, too, to become the me he's called you to be. But the first step in doing that is becoming a part of his family. And that's done quite easily by saying yes to Jesus in your life, to recognize that he died on a cross, he sacrificed his life, he did it all for you to become what he knows you can be. Today, he looks beyond the reality of the struggles you have, and he sees the great potential in your life. All across this auditorium, I want to pray for you today, especially for those that would say, Pastor Steve, I need to know the Jesus you're talking about. I need to know him personally. Maybe you'd say, I grew up knowing Christ, but I feel like I've drifted. I feel like I've got off course, but I need to realign myself. Maybe that's you today. Well, I want to include you in this prayer as well, so that you could become all that he has for you. So today, if that's you, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I want to ask you to do something brave, and it's not to embarrass or to call you out, but it's to recognize that it takes courage to serve Christ. And so I want you to do something to reflect that. Right now, in just a moment, I'm going to pray for all of you that make that decision. But I want you to do something first. All across this auditorium, I want you to lift up your hand high. As everybody's head is bowed and eyes are closed, lift it up nice and high just so that I can see it. And I want to include you in this prayer. If you say, Pastor Steve, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to realign myself. If that's you, slip up your hand nice and high so that I can see it. Yes, thank you, right here at the back. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? I'm looking up through the top, down on the floor to my right. Anybody else? Yes, right here on the main floor. Thank you. Anybody else? We don't want to rush through this moment. This moment is for you. If you feel your heart beating out of your chest, the Lord is stirring you to take a step. You may not see everything that he's called you to today, but he sees the potential in you. And that starts right here by saying yes to following him. That's fantastic. If you had your hand in the air, you can drop it down. As your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. Calvary, let's pray with all of those that are making first-time commitments and recommitments today, that they would find themselves on track with him. Would you pray this simple prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you today for dying on a cross for me. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Calvary, let's give a big hand for everybody who's made that decision. That's the best decision you will ever make. In the seat pocket in front of you, you'll see some colorful cards. One of them is yellow. Says, I have decided on it. Take a minute right now, if you would, grab one of the pens that are in there, jot down your name and your email. We would love to send you some resources to help you grow in the commitment you've made, and we would like to pray for you. Anybody that fills out one of those cards this week, we will pray for you in our meetings this week as we gather as a team. And we want to see you grow. God wants to develop your character, and he wants to do it through this community. And if you don't have a local church, then you you can prayerfully consider belonging to this one. I would highly recommend it. And it's a great place for your family to grow and develop. We champion the next generation. We believe in the potential that's in you. And we pray that you could be a part of it with us. God bless you.